Wow, I'm so impressed with what John and the team are doing with Al Taylor for Kids. You know, they started this thing up themselves from scratch, and it's exploded exponentially. And they can't keep up with the requests from schools to be involved, to be influencers, and that's tremendous. That is just awesome. And so, you know, we talk about a cancer-free zone. We talk about all these things that come as part of the package of what the kingdom looks like. We don't see everything we want to see, but we're still going for it. The standard doesn't change. The bar doesn't get lowered. And our joy is undiminished as we pursue the goodness of God. And so I just saw in that video too, anxiety and depression are so prevalent. 62, the percentage there in schools is just ridiculous. So we want to declare a anxiety and depression free zone. You know, these things are spirits. And they've got no place where the kingdom advances, where the presence of God is. Anxiety and depression cannot stand. It means, though, that the kingdom has to be represented in those places. And Al Taylor for Kids teams and the Chappies and all the other folks that are there on purpose for the kingdom, they bring God's presence. And so we have a rightful expectation to see anxiety and depression, suicide go in the name of Jesus. That Nambour and the Sunny Coast and the areas where we are influencers would become famous as one of the healthiest places in the country. In Jesus' name, mental health. And wouldn't it be just like God to start that kind of movement right in the shadow of the LG ward at our hospital, the mental disorders, you know, the mental health ward there that we own right here. Isn't that where, you know, I've often said it before, God says basically with us as his hands and feet, show me the darkest place where the enemy thinks he's got a little grip on the world. And he says, okay, that's it? Okay, that's where I'm going to explode with light. That's where I'm going to start. That's where I'm going to show up. Yeah? So, you know, the enemy thinks he's got strongholds reinforced over generations or from foolishness and bad theology. And the Lord says, show me that spot. That's where I want light to explode in the darkness. But he needs you. He needs you to carry the light. You are not only the light of the world. The scripture says you are light. You are light. Be aware of that, guys. Where you go, you shed light on hearts and minds in the spirit. Your presence begins the process of setting people free. That's why John said that the process of discipleship begins long before salvation. Begins where there are believers there to influence your life. And many of you would have stories about the day you were saved or the day you encountered Jesus and you were born again. And you remember how wonderful that was, the day you fell in love with him. But very few of us can actually recount the process from whenever to that day. After that day, no problem. But the journey to that day, It's a little tougher. Hey, some of it is punctuated with foolishness and dysfunction and brokenness and loss, all sorts of things. But understand, there were believers praying. There were believers in your circle. There were believers praying anonymously for you and your group of friends, whoever that might be. There was light influencing your world long before you came to the Lord. Hey. And the more intentional we become with this, the more powerful the movement of the kingdom becomes. When we know who he is, we know who we are. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, so good. Hey, so Australia Day is coming up. Yeah, it's true. Ask a kid what's Australia Day about. And pretty much a lot of them, if they're under six, it'll be holidays. You know, it'll be, you know, up until 13. It's a holiday. Well, what's it about? Barbecues, yeah. But of course, we know it's about heritage, and even that heritage is being debated and wrestled over. And there's some challenge with Australia Day, but ostensibly Australia Day is about our roots. It is about the beginnings of a nation. However you read that, God is a redeemer, and he took whatever the beginnings of this nation was, and he redeemed it to his purpose. He's still redeeming it to his purpose. Because my word, we haven't got it all right yet. And there's a long way to go, but there's such pregnant promise hanging over this nation. And so at the same time, we understand the mistakes of the past and the foolishness and the just gross injustice of the past. At the same time, we recognize we as believers, we get to recognize God's hand in that. And so Australia Day encourages us, if you will, to remember, hey, we came from somewhere. it didn't just begin with us. God birthed something. And so we're encouraged to remember. So too, we're encouraged to remember when we were born again, when we started over, when we became a new creation, when we fell in love. Jeremiah 2 and verse 2, the Lord says, I remember how faithful you were when you were young, how you loved me when we were first married. You followed me through the desert, through a land that had not been planted. Other versions say, I remember your youth, the kindness of your youth. Isn't this amazing language from Jesus, from the Father? I remember you. I remember when we first started. Oh, you were so excited about me. You couldn't get enough of me. Hey, isn't this what Brian was sharing this morning? That attention seeking of a child for the Father? And I think it's the same with our Father in heaven. He doesn't need us, but he longs for us to have that same passion as Brian's 15-month-old. Hey, just to want to be in his presence continually, to press in continually. He's looking for that heartbeat in you. He say, you know, when we get distracted and we get all jaded and sophisticated and we become adults. It's almost one of the worst diseases of mankind, you know, in that sense. I'm not talking about maturity. I'm talking about sometimes the Western version of what it looks like to be an adult is almost antithetical to the purposes of God in terms of the kingdom. Do you understand that, don't you? You get it. We become, we take our knocks in life, we get bruised and jaded, and we get, we lose our vision and our sense of wonder and expectation because it just hasn't panned out and our dreams have failed and faded. And so we become this, you know, mature seer, sophisticated, you know, and if you knew everything that I knew, you wouldn't be smiling either, kind of adult. And God is saying, oh, yeah, who said? Yeah, until you get born again, because God said to Margaret, I remember you. I remember when we first started. I remember when you fell in love with me. And you know what? Margaret's never stopped being in love with Jesus. And she still got about 17 is where Margaret sits in terms of her passion for Jesus. And it's just in full bloom, absolute full bloom. And that is what is on offer for every child of God. But isn't it sad that the Lord has to encourage it, that the Lord has to say, oh, I remember. It implies that we've forgotten. And we need days like today to pause and remember how in love with him we are. Hey, that he should occupy our thoughts and he should fill up our view and he should fill our horizon. He should eclipse every issue and put every circumstance and concern in its proper place. Not to pretend it doesn't exist, but in view of knowing him, they just kind of line up and take their proper place. The first place belongs to Jesus alone. So, are you so in love with Jesus you don't care where he takes you? Are you? I reckon. I remember, God says, when you were in love with me, when we were first married, and I led you through the desert, and you followed me. Are you so in love with him you'll go anywhere with him? And occasionally remark on the scenery and the surrounds, but mostly your gaze is fixed on him. You are locked on Jesus. He's so good. And you let all the other stuff find its proper place in him. I'm going to talk about fasting this morning because we're going to start fasting next week. It's our normal. I think most of you got the email. If you've got email, then you got it from the church. If you've got email and you got nothing from us, it means you're not in our database and we need your stuff. So you need to phone the office and get in plugged in with us, because I just informed the house that we're going to begin our normal fast. It's a normal fast insofar as we've done it for, I don't know how many years we've done it now, 8, 9 years usually. And it's usually fallen. I remember the first time we fasted. I remember, and I'm not saying this to boast, I'm saying this is the power of fasting is to break through to new ground, to allow for more of God, and it displaces the junk and the distractions that allows more of God. And I remember a number of years ago, earlier in our walk here, I just woke up one morning and it felt like I can do a 40-day fast. And I thought, you know, and that has to come with grace, I would say to you, and I say to me again, because I haven't felt that way ever since. But there was that season where I said, I can do 40, I need to do a fast for the house, you know, as the pastor of the church. I'm thinking, okay, it's time. And there was just grace on it. And so I did it. And I feel that there was breakthrough that flowed as fruit out of that. We're not doing a 40-day fast next Monday. But I remember the first time we announced our first three-week fast. And that came from the Lord on the Saturday I was preparing for the next day, for Sunday. And I saw the timing was such that the fast needed to begin on Monday. And so without any forewarning, without any heads up, that Sunday we announced, okay, church, tomorrow we begin a three-week fast. And just as with anything else that is of the Lord, as the name changed of the church so many years ago, there was such grace on that. There was nobody going, you know, we can't do that. You know, what do you think? You know, calling a fast with 24 hours notice, you can't do that. And there's times when Ginny and I have laughed and said we should write a book on how to destroy the local church in several, you know, five easy steps. You know, one of them would be to call a fast tomorrow, you know, and not just a fast, but a three-week fast. But so we did that and was so blessed and so great. From those days on, we've been fasting every year at the beginning of the year. And normally it's been a three-week fast, and it's included food, it's included negativity, and we've had a positivity feast. And since that, I think we're trying, you know, we're believing that the culture of Flame Tree no longer needs a three-week negativity fast. Positivity, believing that 365 days of the year, your culture is such that you're starting to learn the power of blessing and speaking life and not death. That should be all the time. All the time. But you can include an intentional negativity feast, if you will. But this year, I felt in the spirit to do it a little differently. We're not going to do a three-week fast. I felt that sometimes lately, our three-week fasts have begun well, but then they've kind of gotten casual. And by the end of 3 weeks, it's kind of like, isn't this when the fast is supposed to end? Shouldn't we do something on this Sunday to mark it? You know, and it's kind of like, you know, it just kind of happened, and it's just lost a little of its momentum. So this year, we're going to do 1 week, and that gives you an opportunity to be more intentional about your fast, to really go for it. And in our first years, you know, I would encourage anybody that wanted to fast TV or iced coffees or whatever, you know, came to bear. But this year, as in more recent years, I'd like all of you to consider really giving the Lord a meal or two, if not all your meals. But you need to determine that between you and Jesus, because it needs to be an honest response, not a religious response, not a token response, either of the scale there. And a token response would be, oh, I'm going to give up cookies, or I'm going to give up, you know, TV, and we call that a day. It might be that that's true for you. And if that's an honest response from you, that to give up snack food is an honest response from you to the Lord, then God bless you as you do that. That'd be awesome. All I'm saying is, guys, when you go before the Lord and ask him, Lord, what do you require of me? What will serve you, your agenda in my life best in this week? Then give the Lord an opportunity to speak to you. And let me suggest to you that a true fast in Scripture, in the natural, involves food. It involves humbling us and preparing us for more of him. And of course, in Isaiah 58, it's more than that too. So especially during that week of fasting, be kind to one another. Look out for the needy. Hey, allow that again to be part of the culture of your life inside the church and outside the church, remembering the orphan and the widow. And so let me just run through some obvious truths about fasting in preparation for next week. It is about Jesus. Yeah? It's not about us. It's not about us beating our chest and you know, hoping that God sees how much we suffer. You know, and we can somehow get his attention. That's a good theme for this morning. We don't have to work for God's attention. He's longing for our attention. And a fast is about us giving him our attention, not us trying to twist his arm to do our will and our bidding. It's all about Jesus. Yeah? Hunger will take you where curiosity never will. And so you don't fast out of curiosity. You don't fast out of a religious spirit. You fast because you're actually hungry for more of God. And as we embark on this year 2017, this year 5777 in the Hebrew calendar, and there's so much sitting on this year. Praise God that the Paris summit fizzled out to a boring nothing. Hallelujah. And let me tell you guys, I dare say that your agreement with us together last Sunday, along with the millions of believers, Jew and Gentile around the world that were praying into that circumstance, created an atmosphere where there was zero agreement. There was discord. There was confusion. There was absolutely nothing. And as a consequence, there will be no more UN Security Council resolution in the wake of the Paris Accord. That was a threat, but that's just kind of disappeared in the nothingness of that effort. So praise God. Praise God. Hey, the nations conspire together, but God sits in the heaven and laughs. You know, and sometimes that sounds like it paints the picture of an all-powerful being, you know, kind of laughing. Who the heck do you think you are? You've got no. But and there is that dimension that God is all-powerful and he can laugh however he wants. And it can mean whatever he would like, but in some cases, it's almost hilarious. God goes, are you kidding me? Seriously? You're trying to conspire against me and my people? Oh, come on, guys. Get a life. And let me show you where that life is found. Kiss the Son. Hey, lest he grow weary and angry. Because that's what a father does when that which is precious to him is touched foolishly by powers, principalities, or people. The father gets angry, and that's not a good thing. Okay. Well, all right, I better get on here fasting. It is about him. Exodus 34 and 26, it says, you must bring the best of the first of each year's crop to the house of the Lord your God. Now, normally, this kind of verse is attached to some sort of teaching on tithing, and of course, it's appropriate, the first and the best. But here, we're talking about our very lives, hey, and the very first and best of the year. And so I want to encourage you guys, again, to an honest response to the Lord when we bring a fast before God. Otherwise, it's religious. Otherwise, it's just dieting, and nobody wants to diet. Seriously, you just don't want to. You need to sometimes, you know, and so in that sense, it can be good for your health and good for your weight and all the stuff, okay? But unless this is an honest pursuit of the Spirit of God, the heart of God, then it's nothing but an activity that we can pat ourselves on the back for, you know, as we get through it and then move on to the next activity. And nobody wants that. Absolutely nobody. That's why fasting can be sometimes very, very sensitive thing to engage in corporately, lest a religious spirit come and invade and rob. We're just not going to let that happen. Okay, it's a real deal. And so it has to be the first and the best here, the Lord says. We give God the first and the best of our lives. We want to love him more deeply and trust him more simply. Remember last week, I think I was quoting Bill Johnson. He shared recently on the Facebook, somebody posted a simple devotional thought that in Luke chapter 2, where we read that Jesus grew in favor with God and with men, there's an order of events there that if you gain first, if you pursue favor with God, it will garner favor with men. If you say yes to Jesus, it will produce favor with men. And then the very favor that you're gaining with men will be under threat because you said yes to Jesus. It's almost cyclical because the Lord will test and try and fire your character through the very process that he's promised by which to bless you. So Jesus, when he went home and taught in his hometown in Nazareth, began, and everybody was astonished at the grace with which he spoke and the wonder of his words. And where did it lead? It led to the edge of the cliff, where now they're trying to do away with him. The very thing wherein Jesus said yes to his Father, went home to preach the good news to his neighbors, is the very thing. It started favorably, but then it cost him nearly everything, but for the grace of God. So it will be with us as well. Hey,
there will be favor. And there are testimonies in this house of men and women saying yes to God and getting favor with men. I'd love to have Stewie come up and share for 10 minutes on what God is doing in the White family. It's astonishing. You remember the journey where with fear and trembling, Stewie said yes to God with Renee's agreement and the prayers of the kids as well, quit 10 years of chaplaining, and then embarked upon a journey that was just basically setting sail over the horizon with no destination in sight. And now by the favor of God first, by saying yes to God first, now we're seeing favor with men because their holiday to the States is powering forward. And this is just miraculous. You know, if it'd been a family with, you know, one or two kids, you know, oh, that's nice. When you got a family with eight kids, seven still at home, or seven kids and six still at home, see, I'm getting ahead of you. May you be blessed, Stewie. He's going, no. Hey, you're the eighth kid, dude, yeah. I'm telling you, when you got those kind of numbers and you've got nothing in the bank account and you say, we're going to America and I'm taking my kids to Disneyland, you got to know that's either the Lord or it's just stupid. And these guys are going with blessing. They're going with blessing. The favor has been demonstrable and wonderful. And it's just inspired. I want to bless you, Stewie, because your faith journey has inspired faith in the house. That when we say yes to God, the fruit is favor with men. That favor, nevertheless, tenuous. Keep your eyes on Jesus. This is not a get favor with God and then drop your attention to men. Keep your eyes on Jesus. The favor of men will come and go. But the promise here is Jesus had favor with God and consequently with men. It says in Proverbs 16 and verse 7 that a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. May the Lord bless you with peace as you keep your eyes focused on him. One of the best ways we can pursue that is through a season of fasting. And I know some of you fast probably weekly. There are some of you who have assigned a day of the week just as a time to especially pursue the Lord and to discipline your body. Amen. May it continue. But corporately, next week from Monday, we're going to have a six-day fast ending the following Saturday night. And we'll have more information about that published to you. We've organized a schedule. The house will be open for soaking worship all during work hours all week long. And then we're going to have a 24-hour period of prayer from Friday evening, beginning with a bonfire out here. All come to worship out there in the field, and then some can segue into the house here, and we'll go all night until Saturday evening. Yeah, and then you can break your fast. But however you want to do it, that's just a little framework. We'll have prayer stations in the cafe, giving those of you that would like some suggestions or some guidance as to how to spend some time in prayer during an hour or two that you set aside in the wee hours to come in and pray. We'll be praying for Australia and for the government. We'll be praying, of course, for Israel. We'll be praying for the nations, and I'm trying to think, we had five, and for Flame Tree as well. Yeah, so, and we'll have some suggestions to guide your prayer and to make your time fruitful. But I want us all to do this in some way, shape, or form, because there is power in agreement. Power in agreement. Please, please, guys, do not let this be a season where we go, oh, yeah, our church is fasting this week. That's nice. But you yourself just observe and participate from a distance, if at all. I would love everybody in some way to participate, whether it simply means a Daniel fast or skipping lunch and using it for a time of reading and prayer, or to restrict your diet in some way. Some of you will abandon food for the week and go with juice. Some of you will go for a water fast, and that's wonderful. But each to his own strength, each to his own experience, and each an honest response to the living God. No religion. In the sense that I mean that. You understand what I'm talking about when we say, you know, religion is not a bad word. Originally, it wasn't. It meant something quite useful. But it has come today to incorporate all of the negative, all of the preponderance of man-made issues and burdens that we place upon one another, and the performance-driven relationship with a God who doesn't
easily be, he's not impressed by our performance, needless to say. So we're fasting, we're giving the Lord our first and our best. We're fasting for greater intimacy with God. Health and healing, provision, salvation, direction, all of these things may result from a fast, and they have in times past, and there's breakthrough, and there's clarity, and there's understanding, but primarily, it's our opportunity to simply say, Lord, have more of me. Displace all the distractions, all the rubbish in me. Lord, let my focus be on you. And I guarantee you guys, a little hunger goes a long way to helping you focus on the presence of the Lord. It reminds you of what is most valuable in your relationship with your Savior. It says here, let me just carry on. In Job, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. And fasting is more than going without food. And so if you commit to a fast of any kind, make sure that every day you set aside some time spent in the presence of the Lord. Read and listen to his word. Always be ready with acts of kindness and compassion. I mentioned that before from Isaiah 58. This is the fast that I desire, says the Lord. They don't turn away from one another, that you remember the orphan and the widow. So all of this is wrapped up in an honest response to a living God as opposed to a religious activity. All right? Psalm 119, I rise early before the sun is up. I cry out for help and put my hope in your words. Try giving God the first of your day, and if that doesn't work, try giving him the best of your day. And the first of the day may not be the best of your day. Some of you are early risers and some of you aren't. Some of you only start to really function after, you know, two cups of coffee, and it's got to be at least 11 in the morning. Woe to your employers, but that's just the way it is, you know. So whatever it is, give God the best of your day. Some place, some moment, whether it's 5 minutes or an hour. Really, the amount of time is not what we're talking about here. God's not impressed. He lives in eternity. You know? So, for you and I in the kingdom, currency is time. As Heidi Baker has said, the currency of the kingdom is time. So spend some of that currency in your pursuit of Jesus during this week-long fast. Yeah? Don't just go through the 24-hour cycle and miss a lunch. Spend some time intentionally going after him. We said we give him our first and our best. Let it be in every aspect of this fast. Yeah? Luke 24. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. God does that. The Holy Spirit does that. It's not a matter of, you know, it used to be when I was a kid, there were all sorts of reading programs for the scripture. You know, 10 chapters a day or 5 chapters a day or Old and New Testament chapters. And they all were well-intentioned, but they almost always, anybody getting involved in that structural reading, they might run for a while, but their discipline would fade and it would drop off. And then they'd get behind, and then they'd get guilty, and then they wouldn't pick it up because, well, now I've got to make up too much lost ground, all that sort of thing. Look, those structures are useful, but primarily, get before the Lord in the first and the best of your day and ask the Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God, as I read your living, bottomless, immeasurable word, will you reveal something valuable to me today that is necessary for your agenda in my life? Out of which then I can draw as overflow and minister to those around me. Hey, get real with God. Get real with his word. Pray that the Lord would open his heart and word to you as you fast and wait on him. Pray that it becomes powerfully honest during the fast. And you'll be amazed at the things God will show you as you press into him. And finally, from Deuteronomy 8, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man, read it with me, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Keep your focus on him. Keep your focus on him. This is a way of remembering. I said Australia Day begins with that idea. We're supposed to remember, and we remember the day we were saved. God says, remember when we were first married. Remember how much you loved me. Now also, remember that it's about Him. That as long as the Lord's grace sustains us and we wake this morning because the Lord graced us with another day, it's about Him. It's His agenda in our life. For those of us who have been born again, we're dead to ourselves and alive to Him in Christ Jesus. It's about His passion, His heart, His agenda, His kingdom, His lordship, His love. Oh, God. And fasting helps us remember that it's about Him. It's about Him. And so in your fast, don't get all caught up with dreams of roast beef. You know, or, you know, bacon. Or, I don't know, we're coming up to lunchtime. It's not hard to imagine, hey? You know, with fasting, it's kind of easy to imagine fasting. Oh yeah, it's going to be great. But when you're in it, and it's lunchtime, and oh yeah, I'm fasting. Oh my gosh. What you got to do is break through that first habitual response of your body clock for food. Get on your knees and use it to the good advantage of the kingdom, and you'll discover if you break through that first hour, then all of a sudden the hunger pangs go. Those of you that are really keen, you know, if you're gonna fast food the whole time, if you're gonna do a water fast or a juice fast, first day you manage okay. Second day, it's getting pretty. Third day is about the hardest. Fourth day you start breaking through, where you're basically because your stomach starts to shut down a little bit. You know, your brain's starting to turn the valves. Okay, nothing coming down the pipe. Okay, just shut it off for a while, you know. And all of a sudden, you know, juices stop flowing and that's cool. But again, I'm not by any stretch expecting the whole house to do a juice fast all week. Some of you may, or a water fast. Let me say this. If you've never fasted before and you're determined to do a water fast only, why don't you start with like a couple days or 3 days? Go from Wednesday on to Friday, or do Thursday through the end of the fast on Saturday. Determine something that is reasonable. And by that, I don't mean without revelation, but I mean, you know, as kingdom people, sometimes we think words like reasonable and sensible are antithetical to the purposes of God, but they're not. He gave you a brain. You didn't kiss your brain goodbye when you got born again, but you employ your brain in service of your spirit, not the other way around. So as your spirit says, I will give God my first and my best, and it will be an honest response. Lord, I want to take ground in this fast as never before. Lord, I want to see breakthrough, yes, for myself, for my church, and for my community, and for my nation, for the nations of the world, and for my elder brother Israel. Lord, let it all, yes, Lord, let me contribute. Let me participate in all of that. Yeah. But let your brain also suggest to you what is wise, what is healthy, what is permitted, what is safe. Okay. And if you've never fasted before and you do a considerable fast, then be wise as to how you break that fast. I remember, was it at the end of the 40-day fast that Ginny and I decided it was our anniversary. So we went up to the, it's no longer there, we went up to the Naked Italian there in wherever that is. Used to be. Where is it? Twin Waters, yeah. And I wanted a steak. Like I said, employ your brain, guys. Just keep your heads in this. And may the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you with liberty, with freedom, with grace to do more than you expected in a more gracious way than you thought possible. Why? Because we're in pursuit of Jesus. Our eyes are on Him. It is about Him. It's about Him. He is the one who satisfies. He's the one that satisfies. It's not just metaphorical when it says He is the bread of life. When He says, I am the bread of life. Let's go to Him and get satisfied. And let's set ourselves up this year, 2017, 5777. Yeah, for blessing. in order that we may bless. In order that we may bless. Yeah. So that you get all the glory, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Our heart is for you, Jesus. Our heart is towards you, even as yours is for us and towards us. We only love because you first loved us, Lord God. And so, Lord, we want to say yes to you, that we may have favor with our community in terms of the advance of the gospel, the advance of the kingdom. Mighty God, whether it be here in Australia, whether it be in Fiji, whether it be in Israel, whether it be in the U.S., any of the nations represented here, are our missions vested interests in Southeast Asia, in Thailand, in Cambodia. Lord God, wherever it may be, Father, we ask you, dear Jesus, as we all of us agree here this morning and we say yes to you, everybody say yes. Yes, God. Say it again. Yes, God. Lord, let that open the windows of heaven that yes, we may be blessed in order that the overflow will be powerful for the world in which we live. In Jesus' name.